friends some Mother's Days as I've left the church, thinking about women who may have been in our midst who were hurting, who were deeply hurting, especially on Mother's Day. Some have had to say goodbye to children. And I don't know what anyone's situation is in the congregation today, but I'm saying these things because these are issues that I've been concerned about in times past while we were celebrating this wonderful day. It's very well we should celebrate this wonderful day. I couldn't help but go home, and my heart would be heavy for people who were hurting, especially on Mother's Day. Some people have had to say goodbye to their children. Geographically, they've moved away to other countries or the opposite ends of the earth, and so they can't be with them. Others have been neglected by their children. Some families are broken, and we very well know that. We see it in the news. We see it. It comes to us everywhere we go. Someone may have experienced an abortion. Mother's Day can be very difficult for that person who has a lot of regret and sometimes a lot of guilt if they haven't worked through the forgiveness. Others have been unable to have children. They've been barren in their lives. That can be painful on Mother's Day. And then there are often those who are struggling to raise their children alone. People, every one of us knows someone who has raised or is raising a family by themselves. Some are lonely on Mother's Day because they've said goodbye to their mamas who've passed on to another life. My mother passed away just a little over a year ago, so I know that pain. And the list goes on. In those times, I'm mindful that while we're celebrating Mother's Day, that there are people who are hurting. And so before I move on to the message this morning, if you'll allow me, I'd like to minister just a moment to those of you who may be in need of some comfort and healing. I just want to speak the word to you and agree with you in prayer that God, the healer, will touch you this day and that things will be different in the future and that you won't have to live with that ache in your heart anymore. How many believe God is able to heal hurts? Yes, we have a room filled with faith today. In Hebrews 4:15, we read that he, Jesus, our great high priest, is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's moved by compassion over your pain, over your particular issue, over your struggles. He cares for you. He cares for me. This is not a myth. It's the life-changing love of Jesus Christ. And he is touched by those things that would hold us back from the best that he has for each one of us. In Psalm 50:15, God says, call upon me and I will answer you. He didn't say I might if you've been good that day. He just said, call upon me and I'll answer you. And he said, I will deliver you. And he said, you will give me glory. That's the whole picture, the whole ball of wax. Call upon me, I'll answer you, and you will give me glory. I will deliver you, and you will give me glory. The truth is, if we will trust and believe, God is able to turn our painful past and our present even into a blessed future. He wants to bless us, and then he wants to use us to pass to future generations the testimony of his great love and his faithfulness and his power. How many have ever experienced the hand of God bringing you out of something you could not get yourself out of? Amen. We have a lot of testimonies. So if you're hurting today, look around and know that God sees you where you are. He loves you in your pain, and he wants to set you free. Genesis 12:2, the first promise in the Bible, was, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. Just simple as that. Yes, he said that to Father Abraham, but in the New Testament we read that if we are faithful as Father Abraham was, we are his children. So that promise comes all the way down through the centuries. and millennia to us, to you and I. And I want to ask you to repeat something after me. It's the only time I'll do it in this message today, but I think it's worth it. Say, I am blessed to be a blessing. I am blessed to be a blessing. Now think about what you just said, and I want to say it one more time, and I want you to say it like you mean it, because there's power in our words. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Speak that one more time with me with conviction. I am blessed to be a blessing. Amen. The psalmist had suffered so much himself, and he called upon God in his pain. And God answered him, and God delivered him. And then the psalmist was able to say in Psalm 31:11, you, Lord, have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. When God delivers us, when we are set free, when we come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it's genuine, we are devoted. There is a devotion that is inspired, and then that brings along the motivation to be his witness in the earth, to be his representative. But whenever I am hurting, the first thing I must remember is to do what David did, who left us with the Psalms, with most of the Psalms. Hey, y'all, let's just be honest. He didn't go and say, oh, thou glorious God, you know, I am in need of thee. He said, these people did this, and I'd like to slap them upside the head. He was honest with God. They hurt me, and how could they do such a thing? He told it like it was. He called upon God in raw humanity, and God heard him, and God answered him, and God delivered him. And then he was able to say, I'm going to give you thanks forever. I'm never going to run out of praise. And he didn't. He didn't. And we have it every day in front of us if we want to be inspired by the writings of Psalms. In Isaiah 61, the Bible tells us that God gives us the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you're here today and you would love to let go of the heaviness, well, he says we can put on the garment of praise that God gives to us supernaturally for the spirit of heaviness. It is true, no way around this, it's true that we can do nothing about the past. The past is past. There are some things we simply have no power over. But in Hebrews 8:28, which is, I do believe it must be your favorite scripture, honey. Excuse me. Romans 8:28, we are told that he, God, is able to work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And when he uses the phrase all things, then we must accept that that means all things, good, bad, ugly, all things. Some things are hard to wrap your brain around as being having any potential for good, but God says he's able to work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Now, if you're hurting today, you are a Christian, you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, this is about you. And I'm praying for you even now that faith may rise in your heart to receive the healing that God has for you today. Not tomorrow, but today. God has that healing for you today. And may you embrace the truth that you do have the power of choice to offer your pain to God so that he can heal your heart and redeem your suffering so that he can use you to pass on that blessing to future generations. Yes, you. Yes, you, dear one, you. May God reach your heart with his word and his spirit and pour in oil and wine today. And may you walk out of here with a brand new perspective, supernatural perspective. And may you have a dynamic impact on those who are around you in your home and those that God places you before and among. I'd like to speak a few moments this morning about our call, the mandate that we have as Christians to pass the blessing on to generations following us. This may seem a foreign concept to some people, but we as Christians are not here on this earth for ourselves. We are here on behalf of Christ to give ourselves away to other people. And that's something that is difficult for us, especially when we are struggling ourselves to try to measure up, if you will, which basically has its roots in legalism, so we may as well just say, well, forget it, I can't be good enough. I'm here, Lord, let me serve you in whatever way. He doesn't wait till you're perfect. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. I would not be standing here today. But God will use anyone who is willing to allow him to heal our hearts and to fill us with his word and his spirit. So we must get the message that we're not here for us. If I get up in the morning, I've got to remember, okay, honey, it's not about you. There are so many others who need what you have to give. I remember Paul said, he said in one place in the New Testament, he said, I die daily. Then he said in another place, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he was giving us a picture of what it is that we are here for, not for ourselves, but for others. And you know, when nowhere is this point more evident than through the life of a mother, and especially our godly mothers, mothers that care enough to bring their children to church and to try to lead them in the way of the Lord. And if you made mistakes in the past and you didn't do that, you know what? Forget it. You're forgiven and go on. It's an exciting thing to know that you have a fresh beginning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. When a woman has children, though, and you know this better than I do because I haven't had children out of my womb, but when a woman has children, suddenly her life, and I think that, you know, the operative word there is suddenly, you wake up and say, okay, my life is not my own. And from then on, your life is lived as a sacrifice on behalf of your family. And you serve generously and tirelessly and lovingly those in your care. And you would gladly take a back seat. I read something the other day, a quote by somebody, and it said, a mother is someone who, when there are five pieces of pie and six people, says, you know, I never did care much for pie. Mothers will give what they have and they will go without. But that's just a mother. And the fact is that Christians, not a one of us belong to ourselves. You know, we're really in the boat with the mothers when it comes down to what the call of God is on our lives. We are not our own. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. And I think about what that precious price was. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. My dad used to sing a song. He used to play the guitar and sing. And he used to sing, he bought my soul through death at Calvary. Do you remember that song, Judy, from way back? It was a precious, precious song. It was about each drop of blood bought me a million years. A soul was born each time he shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul through death on Calvary. And that is the price he paid. So we are not our own. We belong to him for his purposes. 2 Timothy 1:3-5. Tells us about Paul writing to a spiritual son. Talk about spiritual parenting, spiritual mothers and spiritual daddies. This is a call we all have. He's writing to Timothy and he says, How I thank God, this is in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 3 and 5. How I thank God for you, Timothy. I pray for you every day. And many times during the long nights, I beg God to bless you richly. He is my Father's God and mine. And my only purpose in life is to please him. I know how much you trust the Lord, just as your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois do. And I feel sure you are still trusting him as much as ever. And in Titus 2, 3 and 5, or 3 through 5, Paul is exhorting the older women to live lives above reproach and to be good examples to the younger women. And he says the older women are to be godly role models, teaching the younger women good things. And I would add, actually, more by the way we live than by what we say. But note that in these two passages that I just read, these are pictures of passing on the blessing from one generation to the other. These are pictures of the influence that one generation has on the other. These two women got their names in the Bible for just simply doing their job. They got their names in the Bible because they had godly influence on their family, and their family came into relationship with God, and then they were having an influence on others. So we are all called, as I said, to be spiritual mothers and fathers. I wasn't blessed with biological children, but and I went through my own painful season of coming to grips with the fact that I would not be able to have children. But one day, I would pray and just ask God, you know, whatever it is that you want of me, you know, and I let him know I would love to have a family, but that, you know, I had to come to a place where I said, God, I don't understand. You know what you want of my life, and I don't, so I'm going to rest this in your hands. Well, one day, as I was reading in Isaiah, I ran across Isaiah 54:1, shout for joy, O barren one who has not given birth. Give a joyful shout and cry out, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one are more numerous than the children of the married, says the Lord. And, you know, I knew in that moment, I knew right then that I had just received a promise from the Lord, and I claimed this verse for my own that day. I was confident that God was going to give me spiritual children, and I was overjoyed. And I talk about it now, and I feel the same joy because I felt the joy that day. I went, it was like expecting a child. I knew. Have you ever called out to God for something, and has he ever spoken to you from his word and by his spirit? And have you ever claimed a promise, and have you ever known that it was for you, and have you ever become expectant in that moment? Is there anybody here who's had that experience? And if you haven't, keep the faith, because God is going to answer. It may not be right in the moment that you want it, but it will be on time. But I became joyful. It was like from then on, I knew that God was going to fulfill that. Somehow I didn't know how he was going to do it. But, you know, just a very few years later, I was appointed as women's pastor and the director of women's ministries at Christ Church, of which Pastor Hardwick was pastor for almost 60 years. And he was my pastor then, and he's the one who appointed me officially to be in that office at the church in that position. And you know that for almost two decades, I found myself nurturing and being spiritual mother, if you will, to hundreds of women. And at the time, we had like 3,300 women who called Christ Church their home. And of course, I could not touch all of them personally, but the Lord was good and brought other spiritual mothers along, and we began a discipleship program. And along beside me, these women would reach out, and we would nurture hundreds of women. And I myself look back on it, and the Lord gave me spiritual children. He gave them to me. And many of them are still in touch who are, they know it. They will write or they will call. they will send me a text or a message, and they will remind me that that God used me to pour into their lives, and that now they're in ministry in another church, or they'll tell me what their lives are like and how God used me to pour into their lives, and they will say, "You are my spiritual mother." And I say that not to brag. I'm saying that because God is faithful to give you what it is not only that you desire, but he said if we would delight ourselves in him, he would give us the desires of our heart. And if you are not able to conceive a child, I don't know if that fits anyone in here today, but please be comforted that there are many, many, many others out there who need what you have to give, and you can pour into their lives, and you can change the trajectory of their future. That's sobering. It's a powerful thought. But people of God, it's not only our responsibility, all of us, men and women alike, but it's our privilege to surround the people who are around us in our congregations and our church families who are hurting and lonely and trouble. There are enough of them to go around. There are enough people to go around. And thank God that they're here, because where else can you go when you are seeking and searching and you are hurting and lonely and needy? Where else can you go where you can really receive life-changing, life-giving help? But that's our place in the body of Christ. We can reach out to our single parents with our love and support and fill in the empty spaces in their lives with our loving presence and our resources. So many opportunities to give what we have to those who need it. And in this way, we're passing the blessing on to future generations. This is how it's done. We can take an example from our own mothers and the faithful mothers of our church families. I think I spoke of my own mother, my sweet godly mother. She went to be with Jesus last year. I do still miss her painfully, but one thing I've noticed since mother has been gone to Jesus, I have so much more sensitivity and compassion for people who have lost their spouses or their children or other loved ones. The compassion has just peaked since my mother has been gone. And, you know, I can't say that mother sit down and talk to me about needing to have it. I just watched my mother. And then when she left this earth, there's something came on me that I can't explain, except that she influenced my life in such a way that it's still changing me. And I'm grateful to the Lord for that. A songwriter friend of mine wrote a song entitled Hands Upon Hands, and it's the story of the gospel that's been passed down from generation to generation ever since Jesus Christ walked the shores of Galilee and touched the hands of his disciples on down to us. And we've still got it. We've still got the life-giving word. We're the carriers of the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ. And it caused me to remember what I heard a minister say one day. He said, ever since Jesus laid his hands upon his own disciples, the perfect gospel has been being passed down to us from one imperfect person to another and to another and to another, all the way through the centuries to you and I. And interestingly enough, the gospel is still perfect. Jesus trusted the gospel, the perfect gospel, into the hands of a bunch of imperfect people. And now the hands have touched us. And we are the carriers. We are the imperfect carriers of the perfect gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation, and it will never change. That, to me, is astounding. And that's what our call is as the people of God, is to pass the blessing on to the next generation, because then they're going to pass it on to the next generation. But lest we think it too monumental a task, let me share a few memories with you here. It's simpler than we think. My family gathered for devotions each morning, and my mother and daddy read the word to us and then prayed with the family. And I'd like to tell you that we kids sat there with our hands folded and were still and just drinking in the word, but we just really basically tolerated it. And, you know, our foot would be fidgeting and mother'd have to touch us on the knee. You know, we wanted out of there. I mean, we didn't like school all that much, but we just couldn't wait to get on the school bus after that was over. But we endured the daily devotions. Well, guess what? Today, I'm overwhelmed when I think of the power of that influence in my life. I cherish my devotional times in the morning. Well, those times brought me to Jesus. Years later, they brought me to Jesus. I accepted the Lord when I was 5 years old, but I didn't know what I was doing then. But I did when I was in my early 20s. And life happened. And the word suddenly began to explode. And I saw its meaning. And I saw the hope in Jesus Christ. And I became full of the life of Christ then. I protect that little time in the morning. Pastor knows it. I have to have it. I don't care how short it is. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to open the gate. I'm going to open the window, as one writer said, to heaven and rest my arms a little while and gaze toward heaven and then turn strong to meet my day. That was parental influence. That was the influence of my upbringing. We're talking about passing the blessing along to the next generation. My parents would take me and my brother and sister to the library every other Saturday. They did this for eons, years, when we were growing up. And we would watch a puppet show. There was always a puppet show on Saturday. And then, with Mother and Daddy's approval, we would check out certain books, and we would check out as many books as they would let us check out, take them home, read those in the next 2 weeks, and then take them back and then get some more. And of course, Mother and Daddy always insisted that the Word of God, the Bible, was our first and foremost priority in reading and studying. And so we did, and we would study that and memorize scriptures, and then we would be involved in Bible quizzes. It made it so much fun. And so we would do that, and we loved it. That's a sweet, cherished treasure of a memory that I have of my upbringing. Well, today, I have a love for reading and learning. My parents' devotion to studying the Word of God has left me with a deep desire to study and to grow in my relationship with the Lord by renewing my mind in the Word of God. My dad was a pastor. And we kids, of course, you know, pastor's kids, Lakita, I know you remember, you were here every time the church doors were open. You probably remember sleeping under the seat when you were a kid. I do too. We were there every time. And they made efforts back then to make Sunday school fun and easy to learn. I think they did a good job, because I enjoyed my experiences with Sunday school. But today, how does that play out in my life today? The church is my home. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. The church is my home. I'd rather be with the people of God than anybody else in the world. I'm eager every chance I have to go and be with people of God. So I cherish every connection that Pastor and I have with Christians wherever we go. My mother was diligent in serving my father and us children at home. And she always respected the opportunity and cherished the opportunity to make life pleasant and easier for us. She would go out of her way to make things easier for us. And there's a book that a friend of Pastor's and mine wrote. Her name's Joanne Miller, and she wrote a book, Creating a Haven of Peace in a Broken World. And it's on homemaking, being, you know, for mothers and wives who want to create a haven of peace in a broken world. My mother was a great example of that. That's what she did. Today, and I'm sure Pastor Hardwick is extremely grateful for this, but today, I absolutely love serving my husband.
Praise the Lord.
I love serving my husband. I'll do something for him, and he'll say, honey, I could do that for myself. I said, but honey, I love it. I want to do it. And in all actuality, I told Pastor, I think we try to outserve each other. That, hey, that might be a little psychology, y'all. But we do, because he's a servant. His mother must have had an influence like that in his life, too, because we love serving each other. Mother also had the gift of hospitality, and she enjoyed hosting guests in her home, and she always made everything special, even though we didn't have a lot of money sometimes. She always made it special, and I was telling the earlier crowd, if we didn't have anything but just the basics, she would make biscuits, delicious biscuits, and chocolate gravy. And that was one of our favorite. I saw somebody's head go. That was one of our favorite things to have was biscuits and chocolate gravy. And you could do that if you didn't hardly have anything in the cupboard. And we'd beg her to make that for us. Well, today, one of my very favorite things to do is, guess what? Host people who come to our home. I love pampering friends and family when they come to stay with us. And come to think of it, I have never made any of them any chocolate gravy and biscuits. Probably because I'm afraid they won't taste like my mother's, but I may have to try that. But anyway, the point that I am attempting to make this morning is whatever you do out of love for God and out of love for your family, out of love for others, will leave a lasting impression and it has the power to help shape others' lives. And I thank God for our dear mothers who've sacrificed their lives for the benefit of their families. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And mothers never underestimate the efforts that you expend or that you have expended for your family. And please, please know that motherhood is the noblest of callings. What would we do without the nurturers who raise us in the way that we should go? What would we do without that guidance and that security and that love and that faithfulness? Now, I know that your children may not thank you now. Maybe you haven't received a lot of things, but you know what? I believe one day they will rise up and call you blessed, as we read in Proverbs. Be blessed that your calling is a godly calling. It is a high calling. Don't ever, please, I plead with you, mothers, don't ever, and homemakers, don't ever tell people when they ask you what you, I just stay at home. Please don't do that. You are the most vital vessel in the world at large. Do you realize that? What would these babies do if they did not have the guidance? And unfortunately, there are situations out there that we see what happens when they don't have the guidance. But as I close, I just want to say, may we all join you, mothers, and determine that with God's help, we will pass on a good and godly heritage to our future generations. Let's join together and take our place and accept the call that is upon us. Luke 9:24 says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. I remember mother singing a little song when I was a kid. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. May old self be slain and friends see only thee. Though it cost me grief or pain, I will find my life again. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. Thank you, precious mothers, for giving us such a wonderful example of love and service and faithfulness. God bless you all.